Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, everybody. So good to see you. You look so well. Turn to someone, give them a hug. Say they look well. Tell them they look well. You look well. You look well. Handsome, pretty. Stay standing. We're going to sing this song one more time. I like this song. Do you like this song? Speak Jesus. Come on, let's sing this song one more time. Speak Jesus.
Jesus in the street.
Come on, everybody.
Jesus in the darkness,
yeah.
Over every enemy.
Come on.
Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you reach out to God, everybody? Online. Let's reach out. Lord, we thank you that you're alive. Father, we thank you that in Christ, we are the head and not the tail. That in Christ, we are children of God. That in Christ, we lack nothing. Lord, we thank you that you're our shepherd. We shall not want because you are our shepherd. We are not left in lack because you're our shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. You fill us today with peace, with your grace, with your goodness. Lord, you know every thirst in our life. God, you know every need. You know every gap. We thank you, Lord, you're here, you're with us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your kindness. You know, God is kind. He's kind. Thank you that you're generous. Thank you, Lord, your love pours out of every life here today. Thank you that your love casts out all fear. Freedom from fear is not about trying to resist fear. It's actually about embracing God's love. The more you grow in the love of God, the less fear dominates your thinking, dominates your decisions, dominates your mentality. The more you grow in the fact that God loves you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That nothing is too big. That no climate, no state of the world determines God's love for you. In Christ, you are loved. In Christ, you are covered. So, Father, we thank you. We receive your love. We receive your grace. And we receive your goodness today. So have your way. Speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. They all said with a good, mighty, hearty amen today. Come on. Come on, really give it up for Jesus today. Give it up for Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Woo! Amen. Well, high five. Two people, sit down. And that's a good high five. Love that sound. Thank you, worship team. You're incredible. Can you give it up for the worship team, everybody? Thank them. While you're clapping, welcome all our guests. If you're a guest here today, come on, everybody, put their hands together for all our guests. So good to have you here today. And Justin is at Hornsby today, and it's exciting day today. How good was Kaylee Carrozza's message last week? What a message. Yes, incredible. And good to see Ren getting dedicated. Good to have the Hammond family here. Love you guys. And it is a wonderful, wonderful day. So God is doing good things, everybody. He's doing good things. I heard this great story of this beautiful lady just the other day who gave her life to Jesus recently, just received Jesus into her life, which is awesome. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, okay. And are you there? Are you there? Yeah, where are you? Where are you today? Don't get caught in those pews today. Where are you? And it was so good. This lady, like, just had never heard about Jesus, never really been aware of God, and she received Jesus and gave her life to Christ, and that is amazing. And she was kind of involved in, like, fortune-telling and, like, crystal balls and all this kind of stuff. And she was learning about God and learning about Jesus and learning that you know, that there is a spiritual realm and there is a hierarchy in that spiritual realm. It's just that Jesus is at the top of it and that God is the author of all things, that before there was natural things, there was the spiritual realm. And so she's just like experiencing and discovering who God is, which is amazing. So she has all these books. She has all these books on fortune telling and all these books on crystals and all this stuff. And so she went home and she got rid of all the books. And as she was getting rid of all the books, she found in the middle of the books a Bible, and she found it was her mother's Bible with her mother's notes in it. And God has always had a plan for this lady. And so, I mean, we were kind of laughing because she just went and gave all these books to all these other people. So we were like, maybe burn them. Anyway, but isn't it just great to see what God is doing in people's lives? Everybody, this is why we're here, that people would see that God loves them, that God created them, that God knows them. And so we're talking about life in the desert. Life in the desert. And Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 44 verse 3, he said, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land." Can you all say thirsty? Just say thirsty. Thirsty, thirsty, thirsty land. "And streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessings on your descendants." And then Jesus said in John 7, verse 37, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And I wanted to set the record straight today, everybody. Christianity is not about the suppression of thirst. Christianity is about the quenching of it. Amen. Jesus did not come to shut down thirst. He did not come to shut down desire. He did not come to shut us down. He came to quench our thirst. He came to the places in our life that are thirsty. And he didn't judge the thirsty. He didn't look down on the thirsty. He came to fulfill the desires of the heart that a relationship cannot, that the things that are created cannot ultimately fulfill, but Jesus can. So every religious idea, if you've ever been aware of religion, aware of God, aware of church, every religious idea that says, well, if you follow Jesus, it means suppressing everything. It means you gotta stop this and stop that. You gotta become dull and boring and passionless. And no, Jesus did not come to shut it down. He came to fulfill our thirst. He came to be the satisfaction that we have all been looking for. You can't get no satisfaction in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of every longing in the human heart that has found its way into the means of the world to meet it. But Jesus is the thirst quencher, everybody. How you doing? He is the only true source of living water. And we discover this, like Kaylee said beautifully, about the woman at the well. and she's had five husbands. She's now living with the sixth guy, and she meets Jesus, who is the seventh man. Wow. And so when she meets the seventh man, seven in the Bible means completion, she finds actually what she's been looking for all along. She was thirsty in the modern sense of the word. You know what I mean? She was thirsty. She was looking for relationship. She was looking for romance. But actually what she needed was Jesus Christ. She was looking for intimacy, but what she needed was Jesus Christ. And the thing about coming to Christ is he's not one of the options. He's actually the option. Like, we are not here today saying, hey, try this and try that, and Jesus is kind of a good option in the midst of it. You know, you could do this, you could go there. That's actually not what we're presenting. It's actually not what we believe. We actually believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone who comes to him finds God. It's only through Jesus Christ that the true desires in your soul, the true wants, and the true things you need are met. And so in John 7, verse 37, Jesus makes, we read it before, he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. So the qualification for being invited to come to Christ is thirst. It's thirst. It's not that you've got it all together. It's thirst. And here's the danger. When you don't know God, we can find ourselves living thirsty and trying all these things to satisfy that thirst. But when you do know God, here's the danger. You know God and you've been around God for a while and you start to get used to it. You start thinking, well, yeah, I'm pretty good at this Christian thing. I'm pretty good at reading my Bible. I'm pretty good at this prayer thing. I'm pretty good at worship. I'm pretty good at going to church. I'm pretty good. But that is not a good thing. That is a terrible day when you have learned to follow God without him. When you have got so used to the idea of God that you have missed him. He is the answer. The church building is not the answer. You're not saved because you come to a building. You're saved by Jesus Christ himself. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So don't get so Christian and so used to it and so good at it that you stop being thirsty. I pray that you are thirsty. I pray that your needs in your life, you are not going to Netflix now and you're not going to other people now, but you are going to God. Don't get so familiar with God that you stop bringing your thirst to him. Be a thirsty person. Don't be, oh, I've got it all together. I'm just going to chill. I'm good. All these other thirsty people, let them be passionate. I'm good. No. When you've lost your thirst, that is a terrible day. And I pray that your thirst would be reawakened, that you would realize your need for God. Without God, I am lost. Without God, I am hopeless. Without God, I need him. And it's not because you can't do life practically. It's because actually when you meet God, you realize he is what you've been looking for all along. He is what you've actually been looking for all along. So Jesus, in John 7, verse 37, he stands up and he makes this big declaration. He says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And the context of this is it's actually the Feast of Tabernacles, which is like a Jewish ceremony, a Jewish procession. And he makes this claim on the last day, which is the seventh day of the feast. And the purpose of this feast was to remember God's provision in the wilderness. If you've heard of this story, the Israelites' manna came from heaven in the wilderness. So this Feast of Tabernacles was to celebrate and to thank God for his provision in the wilderness that meant they could travel through to the promised land. It was also then to look ahead to the coming Messiah. They were looking ahead to the Messiah who was to come, who would ultimately fulfill what this festival was about. In this festival, they had what they call like a flagon. I think that's how you say it. It's like a cup. And so they
would pour water in it from the pools of Shalom, the healing waters of Shalom. And they would grab the water and they'd put it in this cup, and then they'd do this procession where they'd march around the altar. They'd do this for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they'd pour out the water on the altar. And they were expecting, when the Messiah comes, we won't need to go to the pool to get the water. When the Messiah comes, he will, by the power of God, he will make physical water appear, and that water will be poured on the altar. Well, then this is all happening. There's people everywhere. There's this big procession, and it's the seventh day. It's like the climactic point of this festival. And Jesus stands up in this moment, says, "Hey, everybody, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water." On the seventh day, this was sacrilege. This was crazy. And they're thinking, this guy thinks he's the Messiah. Jesus didn't turn up with physical water. He turned up with living water. He didn't have physical water to pour on the altar. We read in John 7 verse 39, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus came with the living water, and the living water is the Holy Spirit, everybody, whom Jesus gives to all those who come to him. When you come to Jesus Christ, you will find the Spirit of God. And so Jesus says, "Come to me, drink, and out of your belly, out of you, out of your spirit, out of your soul will flow rivers of living water." Can I get that garden hose? Thank you, Annalise. I got a garden hose. I like gardening. Not really, but anyone like gardening? Thank you, madam. Thank you very much. You like gardening? Okay. A couple of people. Good, good. Gardening. It's awesome. I'm learning. And we've looked at this before. But this end of the garden hose goes into the tap. Is that correct? Yes. All right. And then this end of the garden hose you use to water the plants. Right? Nailing it? Yeah, okay. So you spray the plants, apparently. And so a lot of people live at this end of life. A lot of people live at the outflow end of life, and ultimately the symptom end of life. What's happening at this end of life is ultimately where most of our attention goes, because it's the most forefront, obvious thing in our lives. So here's the thing you got to understand. If it's flowing out of our lives, it's because it's flowing in. So when I'm angry, when I'm annoyed all the time, when I'm constantly got all this dysfunction just coming out of my life, we often are going to go to try and solve this. If I could just fix this end, if I could read some more books, if I could do this, if I could go there, if I could change this habit, fix this behavior, if I could get some more advice, We're living at the symptom end of life. But what I would like to present to you today is the biggest issue is not actually the symptoms. The biggest issue is the attachment. It's actually what we're attached to that is causing what is flowing out of our life. That's the biggest issue. It's what's flowing out. And if it's flowing in, it is going to flow out. And so we can get so attached to people's approval that we end up with all this behavior that is enslaved to people pleasing. Right. We can get so attached to how people perceive us that flowing out of our life is constant perception management. Yeah. So attached to pleasure that flowing out of our life is all this lust and all these things. So attached to our phones, hello everybody, and what everyone else is doing with their lives, that FOMO and comparison is flowing out of our life. And so if you live at this end of life trying to fix it, make it better, I got to do better. Some people think that's what church is.
Hey, go down to the church, they'll fix all your symptoms. Go to church and they'll help you behave better. You know, it's going to be about, well, you need to stop doing this and start doing this and stop doing this and start doing this. It's symptomatic. We are not here trying to tell you fix your symptoms. We are here saying fix your attachment. Fix this attachment. You were born. You were designed to know God. And without this attachment, you're going to be hooking up to all sorts of sources that are not living water. Toxicity, bitterness is going to flow out because you're not attached to the living water. But when you attach, it's going to flow out of your life. Jesus is saying, attach your life to me. John 15:5, remain in me and I'll remain in you and you will bear much fruit. When you're attached to the Spirit of God, when you attach your life to God, the fruit of the Spirit flows out of your life. Galatians 5, we know this, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, remember, but if you don't know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Christians are not better people. Christians are just attached to God. That's all. That's the only difference in my life. It's not that I'm somehow born a better person. I have two of me. Two of me. I have Alex fleshly and Alex spiritly. There's two of me and there's two of you before you start judging me. There's the flesh and the spirit. And they're at war. And the only difference of what is winning in my life, when my flesh is winning, or when the Spirit of God is winning, you know what it is? It's not this. It's not because I got a new Bible study plan. It's not because I fixed some peripheral things or some exterior things. I know when I'm living as God has designed me to be, my real self, my human self, my spirit designed, spirit-led self, it's because the attachment is hooked in and it's flowing. Everyone say flow. That's how this is designed to be. Christianity is not something you force. You push harder. It's actually meant to be flow. The key issue is the attachment. And I noticed this the other day. So in our backyard, I went to our tap. And I was using it, not recently because there's been a lot of rain, but when it was dry, calm down. And when it was dry, I was using it, using that beautiful Sydney water, and I was looking after the plants. And the tap, this end, the hose, was kind of just spluttering. It was just spitting water. It was kind of like pausing and going and pausing, and it just wasn't working. It wasn't really flowing. I was like, what is wrong with this thing? Jason, you know, we need a new hose. This thing sucks. This is the problem. I knew it. Sometimes we throw out the wrong thing. We think, if I get a new church, if I get a new relationship, if I get a new this, if I get a new job, if I get a new that, then everything will change. Everything will be different if I got a new this. That's not your problem. This is not the problem. This is fine. God can use this. God can use anything. God can use this. The issue is the attachment. And so I noticed, I went over to the garden, and I went over to the hose, and I noticed that this bit, this plastic thing, whatever it's called, was not fully attached. So it was in the right place. Like this guy had found the right place to go. But it wasn't properly attached. Ava, it wasn't properly attached. The tap and the plastic attachment were just kind of connected. Just like, it was like a little bit connected, a little bit not. You know what I'm saying? You know, like a little bit there, a little bit not there.
kind of like lukewarm vibe, you know, sort of connected. And so what was happening was water at the attachment end was just pouring out. It wasn't actually being captured. It wasn't flowing because it was not properly attached. But when I got this thing and I went, and I got the thread of the tap and I got the thread of this bit and I connected it and made sure there was no gap, do you know what happened? The water started to flow again. The water started to flow again. Listen, listen, listen. Some people have not found the source. And our prayer is that every person in Sydney would find the source of life. That's our prayer. Then there are those of us who have found it, but we're not experiencing it in our lives. And what I would say to you is come back to the attachment. Come back to the attachment. Is it kind of on? Are you sort of connected? Like, does God kind of have your heart? Has your prayer life become kind of familiar? Is talking to God sort of like a chore? I want to encourage you. Are you know, like quiet time? Like, let's, like quiet. It should be like the most amazing, passionate, loud, silent, whatever you need time. It should be like you pouring out your life to God time. It shouldn't be this sort of, I'm just kind of hiding away with God and I'm sort of going to do what I need to do here. I'm telling you, when your relationship with God has all of you, when it's your anger, when it's your joy and you pour it all out to God, when you pour all of it out to God, that's when you truly find yourself connected and hooked up to God and it starts to flow. Don't be trying to bring your sanctified self all the time to God, your Christian self to God all the time. Bring yourself. Like God thinks your best self is somehow putting a ruse over him that he doesn't know the real you anyway. Stop trying to performance manage with God. Just come to God and be exactly who you are because he knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who you are and he loves you and he's calling you and he says, come to me if anyone thirsts, come and drink. So here's what happens. When we attach our lives to God, we actually become a channel for living water. Not only does living water flow into our lives, not only does the peace of God and the grace of God and the love of God and the presence of God flow into our lives, but it starts to flow out of our lives. We become a channel for that living water. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. These are Jesus' words. And he's describing the purpose of this living water. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in the city, in all Judea and Samaria, in the region, and to the ends of the earth. When the Spirit of God is flowing in and out of your life, he makes you a witness. We start to talk about Christ. It starts to show up in our life. And here's the thing, we are not witnesses of a church. This is our church. But the church is a witness of Jesus. So let's not confuse what this is all about. It's all about Jesus, everybody. We're not pointing people to a place. We're pointing people to Jesus. We're the body of Christ, and we are pointing everyone to the head of the church. Jesus is the head. No, man, I am not the head of this church. Jesus is the head of this church. I work for him. We gather because of Jesus. We worship because of Jesus. We connect because of Jesus. We pray because of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, the living water, makes us witnesses of Jesus Christ. I love what it says in Romans 8. Worship team, I'd love you to join me. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Paul is speaking to the Christians in Rome. He's just been talking about, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that we no longer live by the flesh, but we live by the Spirit. And then in verse 26, he says this. Listen, everyone, listen. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Later in Ephesians, Paul encouraged the Ephesian church and said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know what happens when the Spirit of God is flowing in your life? The Holy Spirit leads us to pray for others. He guides us into prayer for others. I love what he said to, Paul said to 1 Timothy, or Timothy. In 1 Timothy. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here, as we close, I want to highlight two things. When the Spirit of God, it leads us, he leads us to pray for others. Two things. When we pray for others, number one, the best thing about praying for others as the Spirit of God leads us, number one, it is the freedom of self-forgetfulness. There's a book by a guy called Tim Keller. It's literally called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. I remember before Jess and I, we were becoming senior pastors in church and everything. Pastor Phil and I would pray every day, like 7 days a week, rain, sun, snow. We were just out there. It was crazy. And so we would pray every day. And I would, I remember when I first started praying with Pastor Phil, my prayer sounded a lot like this. Me, 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 me. Help, Lord, help, Lord. Help me, Lord, help me, Lord. Me, 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 me. Just praying about myself for like an hour, you know. And I started to hear his prayer. And he would thank God for this and thank God for that. And then just start praying for people for like an hour. I don't even know how he remembered all these names. He's just praying for people, just naming them prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. And that has literally changed my life. You know, when the Holy Spirit is guiding us to prayer, he does lead us to pray for others. That life is not all about us. And the world has the idol of self, and we're still not happy. When it's all about you, you're no longer a means to an end. You are the end. And when you're the end, guess what? You don't have meaning. Meaning is found by being a means to an end greater than yourself. And prayer, when we pray for others, we start to feel the heartbeat of God for others. You know, like, you ever been angry at someone? Oh my gosh, are you gonna all do this today? No, I've never been angry at anyone. I am just peaceful and lovely all the time. You know, like if you've ever been angry at someone, you know what is like the best and worst thing to do? Pray for them. Yeah. Anger just melts away. Yeah. Your opinion and your offense and your disgust and your this and your that, my, me, me. You know what? You pray for them, it melts away. Yeah. And you actually get God's heart for that person. God loves that person. Yeah. So that's to change you. Yeah. You're praying for them, but it's changing you. One of the best things you can do for people that you have a problem with is pray for them. Pray for your enemies. It's easy to pray for your friends. It's easy to pray for someone you like. What about when there's someone you don't like? Or what about when there's someone that doesn't like you? Pray for them and watch how it changes you. First thing is, when you start praying for others and the Spirit of God guides you and leads you, you discover the freedom of self-forgetfulness. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. There's freedom in that. The second thing is things start happening. When we pray, we are preparing the way for the Lord to be revealed, the glory of God to be revealed in people's lives. Prayer is partnership, everybody. God has designed his kingdom to come to earth through partnership. It's not just, we'll leave it to you, God. He said, come with me. I do the bins, I bring Oakland, and I do the bins all the time when I do the bins, I bring Oakland all the time. And when we go to the bins, you know what? I probably could have done it without him. I think. But I bring him for the partnership. I want to do it together. Prayer is us bringing God's plans into the earth that he has in mind, that he links us in because of partnership. This is the greatest partnership you could ever discover in life. And I remember Mitch McDonough and I, Pat Ancliffe was preaching and he said, hey, I want you to pray for someone. And so Mitch McDonough and I decided that together we would pray for my soccer coach. And so we got together, we prayed a prayer, you know, it's just like a little prayer. And then this thing called Alpha came up. So I invited my soccer coach to Alpha. It was the worst invite in history. Literally by the end of the invite, I was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You know, he came nonetheless. And he came to Alpha the third weekend after Alpha. He said, so can I come to church this weekend? I said, sure. And so he came along and gave his life to Christ, received Jesus, found the living water. Prayer. Things happen when you pray. Charles Spurgeon's mother, if you don't know who Charles Spurgeon is, Google him, I don't have time. His mother, Charles was a very strong-minded, very willful young man. And he went his own way. He did not walk with God in his youth. And his mother would pray for him every day. So much so that Charles would hear his mother praying for him. He'd come home and he could hear she was praying for Charles. Just help him, Lord. Praying for Charles. And she was just praying that Charles would receive Christ. That was her prayer. Do you know that Charles Spurgeon is one of the greatest preachers of the gospel in human history? He led thousands and thousands of people to Christ. All because that one woman was partnering with God and praying for her son. Prayer prepares the way for the Lord. I remember when I was in youth, just like I was a youth, and long time ago. And so I was in youth, and I remember there was this young guy, you know, similar age, and he came to summer camp, and he had a radical encounter with God. Changed his life, met God, and he was at Oxford Falls Grammar and had this encounter with God. And then 5 years later, he didn't know, but he found out that there were two friends of his at school, 3 months in the lead up to summer camp, every day, every school day, they would pray for him specifically to encounter God at summer camp. Two teenagers. That person is Mitch Hammond. What a man. What a guy. Look what God is doing in his life. But it's because two friends were preparing the way for the glory of God to be revealed in his life. Church, when we pray, things start to happen. Everybody, can you close your eyes as we close? The Spirit of God flowing through your life. It'll lead you to pray for others. And it's so freeing when you're not just praying for yourself. When it's not all about you, there's freedom in that. Your world becomes bigger. And things start to happen. So maybe you're here today. Hey, listen, maybe you're here today and you have never received Jesus. Maybe you've never even heard about him. Maybe this is the first time. Maybe you're aware of God, but you've never received God into your life personally. Maybe a parent knows God, but this is not through your parent. This is actually you. This is you and God right now. And all I want to invite you to do right now is to make a decision to receive Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to take you anywhere. The team give you a Bible at the end of the service. That's it. We want to encourage you. If you've never received Christ, He loves you. He's calling you. Come to Him. Come to Him and drink. Maybe you do know God, but you have found your life drifting away from Him. Come back today. Come back. Come back to Him. So what I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand. Count of three. If you want to invite God into your life, all I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand. You are never too far from God. That one turn cannot connect you to your Savior. Just one moment, one turn to Him. If you're coming back, come back today. If that's you, count of three. All I want you to do is raise your hand. I'm going to lead you in this prayer together. We're all going to say it together. One, two, three. Who is here today? Saying, that's me. I want to invite God into my life. I want to receive Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand. If you're online, let us know. We'll wait for you. Who is here today saying, that's me? That's me. Thanks, man. Awesome. So proud of you. Anybody else who's saying, that's me? I want to invite God into my life. Maybe you've tried a lot of things. Feeling at the end of yourself. Come to God. You know, the thing with God is it's not actually about like getting your life right and then coming to God. You come to God and He starts to work it out with you. So don't put it off. Don't put it off. Anybody else saying, that's me. I want to invite Jesus to my life. Anybody else? 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Amazing. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I turn to you. I receive forgiveness. I receive eternal life. I receive a new beginning. Thank you for living water. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Everybody, can we give it up for our friend who's received Christ? Can you stand up with me as we close? Can you do this? Can you just reach out to God? Here's what I want to ask us to do, everybody. I want you to just think of that one person. It's good to pray generally, but it's also really, really good to pray specifically. Who's that one person that you feel like God is asking you to start praying for? Who's that one person? Lord, we just thank you right now. You give us that one. Lord, that you start to pray through us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you start to use us to see those ones who you love, who you are calling. Receive Christ. Come to the knowledge of Jesus. Father, so we thank you. Use our prayers this week. Use our prayer this week. Use our prayer this week as we pray, as we gather and pray. In Jesus' mighty name, they all said, amen. Come on, give
thank
it up
you
for, Jesus
for listening to
today.
The C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.